Hello, Shalom. This is Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, beginning the book of Zechariah, of the Navi Zechariah, one of the books of the 12 prophets, Tzrei Yosor, beginning with Perek Aleph, chapter 1 of Zechariah. Zechariah HaNavi was one of the three Nevi'im, together with Haggai and Malachi, who survived the exile to Babel, and who were present and actively involved in the entire process of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. In this regard, they were assisted by the kings of Poras, by Koresh, by Cyrus, and by Daryovesh, by Darius. Rashi cautions us at the very beginning of this perek that the nevuah of Zechariah is situma hi ma'od, very closed, very mysterious, very difficult to understand. It consists of dreams, and therefore it's very difficult to decode and to know clearly what the Navi is always alluding to, as we will see immediately in the first perek. The perek begins, Bachodesh Hashmini, Bishnas Shtayim Lidor Yovesh, in the eighth month of the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Poras of Persia, Hoyo Devar Hashem El Zechario Ben Berechio Ben Ido Hanovi Leimor. We are introduced to a new Navi, to a man named Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Ido. The Devar Hashem, the word of God, begins by talking about the events of the past. Kotzaf Hashem alavoseichem kotzef. God was very angry with your fathers. And this anger continues. It has not ceased. V'yomarto aleihem. And therefore you are to tell the people, God says to Zechariah, Ko omar Hashem tzivokos, shuvu elai ne'um Hashem tzivokos, v'oshuv aleichem omar Hashem tzivokos. Turn back to me, return to me, do tshuva, and I will turn back to you. The Malbim points out that there was a major shift between the words of all of these last Nevi'im, Zechariah being among the last Nevi'im, and the earlier ones. And that is, in the earlier period, the Ribono Shel Olam sent to the Jewish people Nevi'im, and the charge of the Nevi'im, the mission of the prophets, was to bring the people to tshuva. So the first impulse toward tshuva came from outside the people. It came from the Nevi'im. However, the prophecies of those Nevi'im, by the time Zechariah comes on the scene, were already fulfilled. The fact that the Jewish people will be punished and exiled and the Beis HaMikdash destroyed because of their sins, that has already happened. The exile is on. The first period of it is almost over. The Beis HaMikdash is in ruins. And therefore, the people should, at this point, already have gotten the message from the Nevi'im. And therefore, the Nevi'im now no longer offer the same type of Nevuah. The Koach, the power of Nevuah, one might say, is now fading. And therefore, as the Malbim writes, Me'ato lo yishlach od Nevi'im mazehirim lehashivom elav. God will no longer send Nevi'im to warn you to do tshuva. Ki acharei ha-Nevi'im ho-acharonim nifseko ha-Nevu'ah. We're at a stage where the whole phenomenon of prophecy is about to disappear. Therefore, the responsibility lies no longer upon the prophets, but upon the people. And that's why in this pasuk, Zechariah is told to tell the Jewish people, Shuvu Eli, you must turn to me, and then I will respond and turn to you. Continuing in Pasuk Dalet, Al tihiyucha avoseichem asher koru aleihem hanevi'im horishonim leimor. Do not be like your ancestors, to whom the early in the Neviim called and said, Koama Hashem Tzavoko Shuvu no midarcheichem horoim u ma'alaleichem horoim. No more will there be Neviim who will initiate the process and say, return, turn back from your evil ways, from your evil deeds. V'lo shoma'u v'lo hikshivu elai nu'um Hashem. Your ancestors did not listen, did not obey me. Interestingly, the Malbim describes a difference between Shemiya and Hakshova. In Pasuk Dalet, our ancestors are described as Velo Shamu Velo Hikshivu. They didn't listen, Shemiya, and they didn't pay attention, Hikshivo, Hakshova. And the Malbim insists that these two words mean different kinds of processes. Shemiya, Shema, means to deeply listen, to understand, to grasp. Hakshava just means to listen with your ear. And therefore the meaning is, Velo Shomu, the Jewish people didn't listen deeply, they didn't understand. Not only that, but Velo Hikshivu, they didn't even listen with their ears. Didn't listen at all. And look what happened to them, the Pasuk continues. Avoseichem ayehem. Where are your fathers? V'hanevi'im halaolam yichyu. The Nevi'im, they don't live forever. And there will be no new Nevi'im. That's the tragic message here. Nevi'im are gone. Ach devorai v'chukai asher tzivisi es avodai hanevi'im halo hisigo avoseichem. But my prophecies, those things which I foretold, happened. They really happened to your forefathers. Vayoshuvu vayomru, kasher zomam Hashem tzavokos la'asos lonu kidrochenu uchema'aloleinu kenosoitonu. Your fathers did, or had they been here, they would still say that whatever was promised happened. They really happened. And they happen to us because of our derochim and ma'alolim, our ways and our deeds. This is the second time you have that pair. In Pasuk Dalet, midarcheichem horoim uma'aleichem horoim. And now here in Pasuk Vov, kidrocheinu uchema'alolenu. And the Malbim says that derech refers to the midos v'darchei hanefesh, to a person's character, to a person's general attitudes. Whereas ma'aloleinu refers to a person's actual specific deeds, hapu'ulos hayotzos mehem. And both were corrupt. Our basic attitudes were wrong, and the deeds which we performed as a consequence of those attitudes were wrong. But what was predicted would happen to us did indeed happen. Those are the first six psukim. Then the Navi shifts and says about a second nevuah. On the 24th day of the 11th month, the month of Shvat, in the second year of Darius' reign, again, Hoyo Devar Hashem El Zecharia Ben Berech Yohu Ben Ido Hanovi Lemor. Incidentally, does the word Hanovi here in Pasuk Zion and also in Pasuk Aleph, that describes Zechariah, in other words, Zechariah the son of Berechiah, the son of Ido, Zechariah the Novi, or is it to be read Zechariah ben Berechiah, Zechariah the son of Berechiah, who was the son, Berechiah was the son of Ido Hanovi? In other words, Zechariah's grandfather was a prophet, and the trop, the Ta'amei HaMikro, seemed to indicate the latter. Ido, the grandfather of Zechariah, was himself a Navi. But be that as it may, in this next few psukim, from here to the end of the perek, we have one of those Maraos Domos L'Chalom, one of those visions comparable to a dream that Rashi told us we are in store for here in the book of Zechariah. And here is the dream, and it is a dream that appears to Zechariah at night. Ro'isi halaylo. I saw that night. V'hine ish rochev al sus adom. Behold, a man is riding upon a red horse. V'hu omei bein ha-hadasim asher ba-metzulo. And he is standing among the hadasim plants, the myrtles, in the mitsula, in the deep swamp. V'acharov susim adumim, and behind him are red horses, sirukim, striped horses, and livonim, white horses. Three kinds of horses. The Malbim connects this vision with a statement in Chazal in Meseches Brochos in Perek Horoa Daf Nun Zayin. Perek Horoa contains many, many passages which try to interpret patterns of dreams. And here we have a dream of a red horse, and this red horse is stationary. It's omeid. The Gemara says, Horoe sus adom bachalom, if a person sees a red, or presumably a brown, a burnt brown, reddish horse in a dream, beroduf, if the horse is running, koshelo, this is bad news, a bad dream. Benachas, if the horse is gently walking, yofelo. For a sus lavon, a white horse, on the other hand, whether it's running or just standing gently, quietly, either way, it's a good sign. So the Malbim understands this Gemara to mean that a sus is a symbol of war. A sus is a martial animal, an animal, a warrior animal. Sus muchan liyom milchomo. On the one hand. On the other hand, a sus is also the symbol of pride, of arrogance, of gavo. A sus being red, red of course indicates blood. If a red horse is running, that indicates that it is running to do war. It is running to spill blood. But if it is not running, or if it is a white horse, then it is not indicating war, it is indicating pride, not murder. Now, he saw in a dream horses, various horses, and a person riding the horse, and as we see, a malach. The horses that he sees, the red horses, are warriors, soldiers. When he sees the one horse, Sus Adom Vahu Omeid, that is the horse that is going to go to war eventually against the king of Persia and will eject the king of Persia and take over the reign from him. Who is that? Who is that single sus, this martial red horse that will rise up against the other warriors, the warriors of Persia? Suggests the Malbim, this is Alexander, Alexander the Great, Alexander Hamoktoni, Alexander the Macedonian, because he is the one who eventually conquered Persia and took over the rule from Darius. And he, Alexander, is the one whom Daniel saw in his vision when he saw a wild goat goring a ram. Zechariah envisioned Alexander not as a tzvir ho'izim, as a wild goat, but as a red horse, a warrior horse. And the person riding the horse, ish rochev al sus adom, refers to Greece, which eventually will conquer Persia. So this vision is a vision of the triumph of Alexander the Great, so suggests the Malbim. And he is standing in Hadassim, V'acharav susim adumim sirukim ulevonim, three kinds of horses, the red symbolizing war, the white symbolizing peace, and the striped one symbolizing a intermediate stage between war and peace, meaning that the generals who will be going to war, some of them will be warriors, some of them hawks, some of them will be peace seekers, doves, and others will be ambivalent, kind of this way and that way, partly hawks, partly doves. Now, this was the vision that he saw, and this is the Malbim suggestion about what all this might symbolize. And I will be emphasizing in these lectures on Zechariah the interpretations of the Malbim. There are so many interpretations, and Rashi himself tells us that we're not going to ever clearly know what these dreams mean. However, we need to have some approach, and the Malbim has a very interesting one throughout, as we will see. Va'omar, and I said, Zechariah said, Mo'ela Adoni, what is this dream? Vayomer Elai Hamaloch Hadover Bi, the angel who spoke to me. So here we have a new character in the drama. Besides the man riding on the red horse, there is also a Maloch, an angel, speaking to Zechariah and explaining to him what all this is about. And that Maloch says, Ani Ar'eko Mohemo Eile, I will tell you what all this is about. Vayan Hoisho Omeid Bein HaHadasim Vayomar, Eile Asher Sholach Hashem Lihishaleich Boretz. Here, the person who responds is not the Maloch. The Maloch kind of says, be still and listen, you'll get the message. And the message is delivered by the very man who's riding the horse, who, according to the Malbim, is the Sar Yovan, the angel, the ministering angel over the Empire of Greece, who is then fleshed out, who then takes the representational form of Alexander the Great. And that's why he is seen not as an angel, but as a man. And he says that these people have been given the mission to conquer the kingdoms of the world, to conquer Persia. Vayanu es malach Hashem ha'omeid bein ha'hadasim vayomru hishalachnu v'oretz v'hineichol ha'oretz yosheves v'shoketes. And they responded to the angel, and they said to him, they, being these other horses, said, we have wandered all around the earth. We've gone on a world tour. And everyone everywhere is sitting peacefully. Everyone, all the countries are at peace. Unusual state of affairs. Posku hamilchomo, says the Malbim. Vasher hakol tachas rishusom. Alexander the Great dominates the world. The world is now at peace. There's one dictator ruling it all. And at this stage, the Jewish people too will find a measure of peace under the king of Yavon, under Alexander and his successors. Vayan Malach Hashem Vayomar. But now the Malach Hashem speaks up. Because when he sees that what's happening here, one kingdom is falling, another kingdom is rising. He knows that the potential here for the Jewish people is not so good. He sees that among the Greek kings there will be not only an Alexander under whom the Jews lived relatively peacefully, but also an Antiochus who would be a tyrant and who will persecute the Jews. The Malach now sees things are not quite the way they should be, and so he says to God, Admosai atolo terachem es Yerushalayim. Until when will you, and the Malbim says we must stress the word you. We must stress the word you. It's not enough to have kings of flesh and blood, the kings of Persia or the kings of Greece, guarantee the mercy for Yerushalayim.
Admosai atol oturachem es Yerushalayim. We need God's protection. V'yeis ore Yehuda and the cities of Yehuda. Asher zo'amto zeh shivim shana. These cities of Yerushalayim and the other Judean cities which you have scorned, which you have despised, which you have stormed against these 70 years, which you have placed under a curse for these 70 years. Vayan Hashem, God himself in the dream, answers, responds. And he responds to us, Hamaloch HaDover Bi, Devorim Tovim, Devorim Nichumim. He responds with good words, with words of consolation. Although we don't hear these words, we don't actually hear these words, and the Malbim tells us, V'hanovi lo hodia ma she'omar Hashem el hamaloch. The Navi does not disclose to us exactly what God said to the king. What are these devorim tovim, devorim nichumim? Again, we see how correct Rashi was in his opening remarks to this perek and to this Navi. It's a closed book. How frustrating it is to realize that you're speaking of you're witnessing, so to speak, a conversation between God and a malach, and the malach tells him, Devorim tovim, devorim nichumim. Aye, how much we would love to hear those devorim tovim, those devorim nichumim, but we don't hear them. Vayomer elai hamalach adover bi, kiro lemor. The malach said to me, this is what you should call out. Ko ama Hashem tzavokos, kinesi lirushalayim ulitzion kino gedolo. I am very jealous for Tzion. I'm taking up jealously, the part of Tzion. V'ketzef gadol ani kotzef al hagoyim hashananim. I will be very angry with those nations which dwell now in tranquility, because they may dwell in tranquility, and the Jews may even have a measure of peace under them, but they're still mistreating the Jewish people. And if you're going to say, well, the Jewish people deserve this ketzef, this anger, after all, God himself in Pasuk Beis, in this perek, says, Kotzaf Hashem alav utzeichem kotzef. Yes. V'ketzef gadol ani kotzef. Now I'm going to take that ketzef and move it onto the goyim, onto the nations. Why? True, I am angry with the Jewish people. I am a little bit angry, and therefore I will punish them a little bit. But the nations who dominated them, they made it worse. They went beyond the measure of ketzef, which I, God, meted out. Therefore, thus says God, Shafti lirushalayim berachamim. I will return, literally, I have returned to Yerushalayim with great compassion. Beisi yibonebo, my house will be rebuilt in it, Nu'um Hashem Tzavokos. Remember, Zechariah is actively engaged in the process of beginning to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and here he has God's promise that that will happen. Vikov yinote al Yerushalayim. And a measuring line needs to be extended on Yerushalayim, meaning Yerushalayim will expand and it will be building in way out into the suburbs, and you'll have to take out the architect's measuring lines to plan new developments, new settlements, as it were, around Yerushalayim. And then, Od Kuro Leimor, call out again, Zechariah. Ko amar Hashem Tzavokos. Thus saith Hashem Tzavokos. Od tifutzena orai mitov, which can be translated, my towns shall yet overflow with good, with bounty, which is a good news. That can be read that way. V'nicham Hashem od es tzion uvochar od birushalayim. And God will yet again comfort Tzion and again choose Yerushalayim. However, the Malbim and many Meforshim say that it's not such great news. That the words of this last pasuk Yuzayin are a second kuro, a second kuriyo, second calling. And it is saying, yes, you will have a chance to rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh, Beis Yibonebo, but it won't last long. Ki o tefutzena orai does not mean my towns will be overflowing with tov, but rather my towns will be stripped from tov. She'od yiglu bagola al yedei horomiyim. There's another malchus, another kingdom in waiting. That's the kingdom of Rome. And they will spread again to futsena. They will spread. And they will, in their spreading, they will to futsena, the Malbim says, not mitov, but min hatov. That the tov which was existed in the second temple will be gone. And the Jews will go out to a second destruction and a second exile. But that second exile, with which we are now in so many hundreds, thousands of years later, then too, there will eventually be Nicham Hashem Odes Tzion Uvocharod Birushalayim. So the last phrases are not predictions about the second Beis HaMikdash, but they are predictions about the ultimate Geula, the Geulus HaAcharon, the Geula from the Geulus HaAcharon. That's the Bochar Od Birushalayim. Once again, yet another time, will God choose Yerushalayim. And that will be B'mehera V'yomenu, speedily in our times. And so we end Zechariah Perek Aleph. And tomorrow we will go on to Zechariah Perek Beis.